It's very low-hanging fruit for the Uganda Revenue Authority to send more targeted messages like these and really see this big increase in compliance.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Well, we discussed the perennial problem of how to raise tax revenues in developing countries before on Vox Dev Talks, and often policy focuses on greater enforcement. But this is difficult to do, it may be unpopular, and it costs money to do it. So are there other ways to improve tax compliance that may be easier? Well, they might be more popular as well, and cheaper to implement. An experiment by Isabel Cohen of the University of Washington that took place in Uganda suggests that maybe there are. She joins me now. Isabel, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi, Tim.
As I said, we often assume that compliance is low in a country like Uganda because there's little or no enforcement. Is this the full story?
It's a great question. This is actually really the question that got me interested in this topic to begin with. I think coming from the United States or any Western country, we're very deeply enmeshed in a tax system. So when I get paid, the government withholds money directly from my paycheck. Mm. And then at the end of the year, the University of Washington sends the federal government my documents, letting them know how much I should pay from their end. So I have very little agency in the decision about whether or not to pay my taxes. That is not true in a country like Uganda. It's really not true for the small businesses that I worked with in this study. And yet people do pay their taxes. So that says to me there's definitely something more than just enforcement going on. One theory we talk about is called fiscal exchange. That's basically the idea that you pay taxes not out of fear of reprisal or out of this enforcement mechanism, but instead it's an exchange with the government. You feel an obligation to pay into the system because of what the system does for you. And so that's one other mechanism that we thought might be going on in Uganda and one of the things I explore in this paper.
Yes, your experiment here, it is more about carrot than stick, isn't it? It is more based on this idea of fiscal exchange. What did you propose?
So what we did was really simple. I worked with the Uganda Revenue Authority to basically identify a group of small business owners who had paid taxes in some previous years, but didn't pay taxes every year. Mm-hmm. And so we thought there might be some people in that sample who needed to pay their taxes in 2019 and hadn't done so. And what we did was just to send them text messages a few days before the end of the tax deadline, trying a couple different types of messages, but try to remind them of this upcoming deadline and urge them to go ahead and actually pay those taxes for 2019.
So just sending a text message, was it easy to convince the Uganda Revenue Authority that this would work?
Yeah, they were really interested in trying it. So I think their interest was in, they do messaging. They have sent texts in the past, kind of a like countrywide text message blast out. And they wanted to know what actually happens when we send these text messages. Are we wasting our money? And then does what we send matter? And that was a really key and interesting question for them. So if we're going to send a message, does the content matter? Does it have different effects based on what we say to taxpayers?
Now, you say you're focused on small businesses. So what sort of businesses were these? And do we know how much tax they were paying? Well, I suppose not paying is the relevant measure here before your intervention.
Yeah, so these are small businesses, but there's kind of a minimum threshold below which they don't have any liability. So okay. People often have a mental picture of someone like sitting on the side of the road selling charcoal or something like in a country like Uganda. These are not those types of small businesses. These are hairdressers, grocers, mechanics, and that level of small business with at least, it sounds quite small by United States standards, but at least $2,600 in sales annually. Most businesses in this category would owe less than about $50 in taxes annually. Mm-hmm. So they're small businesses. It's a small liability. But nonetheless, there's very little enforcement among this group of small businesses. And so not everyone pays consistently, for sure.
So what messages did you send them? What variations did you try out?
Yeah, so we had a control group. We left those out and they didn't receive any messages. Mm-hmm. And then we had three different messages that we tried. So we had a pure inform message, which just said, hey, the tax deadline is coming up in a few days. you might want to pay your taxes. Mm-hmm. We had a message that we call sometimes the carrot message or the encouragement message, which said something along the lines of, the tax deadline is coming up in a few days. Paying your taxes educates Uganda's children, provides healthcare for Uganda citizens, and helps keep Uganda safe. So that message is really focused a little bit more on this fiscal exchange channel, mm-hmm. reminding people about what tax money does. And then we had the most enforcement-focused message, which just said, hey, the tax deadline is coming up in a few days. Did you know that those who don't pay taxes legally can be subject to fees and business closure?
So did those messages work, or which ones worked?
Overall, they worked pretty well. So we look at this from the time when we sent the messages in June until basically the beginning of September in that same year. And what we find is about a 14% increase in people paying the tax specifically for small businesses. This is a little closer to 7% when looking at paying, there's a couple other taxes, so paying any tax overall. And I should note as well that the total number of people who actually pay is pretty low. So this is a reasonable proportional increase, but the objective number of these businesses paying into the tax system is still pretty small. And the informational message and the enforcement message both worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. And we actually don't find, looking at the sample overall, that the encouragement message worked. Although I actually do find that there are people for whom the encouragement message works also.
A lot of policies when it comes to raising tax, they're tried and then they're abandoned because people do the sums and they find out that actually it costs more to do it than it raises in tax. So why are we doing it? What's the return on investment on this one?
The nice thing is that text messages are really, really cheap to send. And even though we sent a lot of extra messages, we sent a lot of messages to people who didn't pay in at all. Mm-hmm. The return for URA of sending these messages was about 6 times the cost. And if we look specifically at the enforcement message, it was actually about 13 times the cost of the messages. So the return is really quite high on these messages. It's very low-hanging fruit for the Uganda Revenue Authority to send more targeted messages like these and really see this big increase in compliance.
And are there particular types of business that respond well to these messages and particular types of businesses that, well, just ignore them?
There's a couple of things that affect how much businesses respond. One is like how recently the business got started. And this is probably to do with the fact that we had the phone numbers that people put down at the time when they registered their business. In practice, for some people, we don't know how accurate the phone number was. So if they've changed their number since they last talked to the government, we may not have that most recent phone number. So it's a problem. But the other types of businesses that the messages worked better for were essentially smaller businesses. So people who might be less well informed about the system overall, but nonetheless do have this tax obligation and do need to be paying these taxes, legally speaking.
Also, can we learn anything about how this works by looking at how it works in different parts of the country, for example?
Yeah, so I think so, at least. One of the things that I tried to do in this study is essentially look at how present is the government in the area immediately around each business. So for a given business, I actually construct essentially a map of government services in their vicinity. Mm-hmm. So I look at schools, I look at health centers, I look at police posts, I look at local courts, which are these like local judicial councils. And I use all of this data to say, how good is the government, based on its physical presence and economic activity, at actually getting people to pay taxes in this area? And there, so there's a ton of variation in this geographically. We think about governments as pertaining to a country as a whole, but in the case of a country like Uganda, how good the government actually is at collecting tax revenue is really, really different in urban and rural areas. And what I actually find is that the worse the government is at collecting tax revenue normally, the better the text message worked. Yeah. So this kind of came into areas where these brick and mortar, or the way we think about how governments operate by building schools, by building roads, where that stuff wasn't getting people to pay taxes, the text messages actually do. So it's kind of, it's a little crazy because you'd think that those things would work together, but it turns out that it's exactly the people who aren't already being reached that are reached by the text messages.
Gosh, that is surprising. Another problem that we have with these interventions is that they tend to be one-time experiments. So we get good news from them, but we don't really know if this is going to change things forever. Do you think that your effect would persist if the Revenue Authority was sending these messages out every year?
It's a little bit hard to know for sure. Mm-hmm. We had hoped to do more messages, and I'm still working with URA to continue this line of research. But obviously in 2020, things went a little bit off track and they had other priorities.
Of course.
So there's a couple different ways to think about this. One is, you know, did this text message, did it have any effect in the next year? The answer is mostly no, although there's a little bit of evidence in these extremely remote areas suggesting that maybe it did. So there may be some people in these sort of most remote parts who actually continued paying because maybe they'd gotten into the habit of it in 2019. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging. On the other hand, that also suggests that there may be kind of a finite benefit to these text messages. If you're reaching people who aren't reached and eventually you kind of cumulatively reach all of them,
you know,
that would stop working. But I think the suggestion, I think, of those two sort of trains of thoughts together is there's certainly quite a few more years where you could send these text messages before those benefits disappear completely.
Well, even if the benefits are lower, you've got low cost, it's relatively easy to do. This seems to me like one of those few examples in economics of a free lunch. Is that really the case?
I think as an economist, I'm actually contractually obligated to say it isn't. There's no such thing. It's interesting. I mean, it's a really high rate of return. There doesn't seem to be a compelling reason not to send these text messages. Mm-hmm. But then you have to also ask, why isn't this something that the government of Uganda was already doing? And in particular, with this enforcement-focused message. So that's the most effective message. There's a 13 times the cost rate of return. But I think your government rightly worries about how does that make people feel and think about the state? And how does that make them change how they engage with the state? If they're constantly receiving like threatening messages, over time, does that start to have kind of a negative effect on their feeling towards the government of Uganda? And so I think that's a very fair concern to have. It's something I hope to be able to look at in the future, how receiving these text messages changes how people feel about and interact with the state. But it's not something I can answer now. And I think it is a non-financial cost to the government of doing these sorts of messages.
Okay, so maybe not a free lunch, but maybe a lower cost lunch. Isabel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Low-Cost Tax Capacity, a randomized evaluation on tax compliance with the Uganda Revenue Authority. And the author you just heard from her is Isabel Cohen. Also, if you want to find out more about this topic, our Vox Dev talk earlier this year with Abebe Shimelis called Incentivizing Africa's Businesses to Pay Taxes looked at some similar initiatives in Ethiopia. You can find that at voxdev.org, or even better, subscribe to Vox Dev Talks on your podcast platform and it'll be on your phone. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. We've got a new episode every week, so please subscribe, listen, and maybe even leave us a review. Thanks to all of you who've done that already. We do read them, and we appreciate your kind words.